I was preparing for the message today, and back when I had been asked to preach this weekend, it was a couple weeks ago, the Lord was kind enough to give me a hint onto the methodology by which it should be presented. And somehow, through the stress and struggles of the following weeks, I completely forgot his instruction and spent several hours piecing together a message that, as I was preparing it, came to realize that, and I was telling Will about this in the back, seemed to be more of just an exchange of information where I have data that I've pulled from the texts of the Bible that I'm going to then share with you, and we're all going to go home. And that's not what Jesus wants from us. There should be a power that accompanies the truths of the Word of God. So fortunately, as I was starting to pull my hair out early this morning, the Lord reminded me yet a second time of the method with which the message should be presented. And so that's what we're going to do tonight, this morning. And I've asked Erica to join me up here. And would you do me a favor while I'm getting this set up? Would you run this to that couple right over there so they can follow along? Now, the message this morning is entitled The Millennium and the End of Sin. And for those of you who have been here week to week, you'll recognize that the presenters have been following a format of speaking about one of the 28 fundamental beliefs. And this one's number 27. And if you look in our reference material, you'll find this paragraph. And I'm going to read it exactly verbatim as we have it listed in our doctrinal material, and then we're going to move into the message. The millennium and the end of sin. The millennium is the 1,000-year reign of Christ with his saints in heaven between the first and second resurrections. During this time, the wicked dead will be judged. The earth will be utterly desolate, without living human inhabitants. But occupied by Satan and his angels, at its close, Christ with his saints and the holy city will descend from heaven to earth. The unrighteous dead will then be resurrected, and with Satan and his angels will surround the city. But fire from God will consume them and cleanse the earth. The universe will thus be freed of sin and sinners forever. I'd like to kind of paint a picture for you of what that experience will be like. And I didn't want this to come from my own imagination. So what I've done is I've sprinkled throughout the presentation scripture that clearly demonstrates where this thought process or this storyline has come from. And I'm going to be sharing the story, and Erica will be reading the scripture as we go throughout. I'd like you to imagine, if you would, a time in the very near future. The last several months have been the most difficult of your entire life. You know, before I start, I'd like to pray. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to invite you to be here again, Lord. You see us, you hear us, you love us more than anything in the universe, and you want us to spend forever with you. As we contemplate on this period of Earth's history, we ask that you would give us clarity and understanding. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. The last several months have been the most difficult of your entire life. Recently, new laws have been passed, giving the government the authority to regulate all forms of worship.
Daniel 7:25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law.
Specific times, places, and methods for worship have been ordered, but you are unable to find biblical support for these decrees, and along with several others, have refused to participate. As a result, you've lost your job. The government has revoked your ability to even buy groceries.
Revelation 13:16-17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark of their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Natural disasters have taken a terrible strain on the country. The economy is in ruins. Unemployment is at an all-time high. The infrastructure is crumbling. Prominent religious leaders have gone on television declaring that God is punishing America because people like you are refusing to participate in the state religion. Your neighbors have begun to view you with suspicion. Several nights ago, somebody tried to set your house on fire. News agencies have been reporting roving bands of vigilantes in some cities, murdering those who, like you, have refused to participate in the state religion.
John 16:2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service.
Beyond all these trials, one burden outweighs all the others. Am I right with God? Am I truly following where he is leading? Is there any hidden sin left in my heart? This soul searching continues day and night, leading to hours of prayer, wrestling with God.
Jeremiah 30:7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time that of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
One evening while praying, you are overwhelmed with the presence of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, he seems to say. Perfect peace settles into your heart. You do not fear hunger or cold or persecution. You feel empowered and awakened by the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. As you walk out of the room, you hear the news anchor report that a new law has been passed, authorizing the death of anyone who refuses to participate in the state religion.
Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. Revelation 22:11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still.
Looking out your window, you see a group of neighbors coming down your driveway. They're carrying weapons. Quickly, you grab the hand of a loved one and slip out the back door. You feel the encouragement of Jesus as you flee.
Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Eventually, you make your way to hill country. You find a hiding place in a steep mountainous ravine near a stream, away from roads and trails. You thank God for his goodness as ravens swoop down, dropping bits and pieces of bread.
Isaiah 33:16-17. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given to him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off.
Over the next few days, you are surprised to discover several others are hiding nearby. Together, you read God's word, pray, sing songs of encouragement, and strengthen each other by talking about the soon coming of Jesus. You find yourself longing every moment to see him, to be with him. Every so often, you climb to the top of the peak to watch for Jesus. As you look out over the land, you can see smoke rising from different towns and cities. You realize that the last seven plagues are being poured out on the earth. You thank Jesus for protecting you from these plagues. Then one afternoon, the earth begins to shake. You race to the summit, and as you stand watching, you see out of the east a small dark cloud the size of a man's fist. Your heart leaps in anticipation. Is this Jesus? As the cloud draws closer, it becomes brilliant and dazzlingly bright. Then suddenly you hear the pure, clear sound of the trumpet. In the distance, you see men, women, boys, and girls rising from the ground, drawing closer to the cloud. Then suddenly your feet lift off the ground. You suck in your breath, your eyes fixated on the cloud. In a moment, you will see Jesus.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Beneath you the earth is writhing, fire breaks out, mountains and structures collapse. You take no notice as you gently glide up, up, up. As you get closer, you see the beautiful forms of angels. And then suddenly, there's Jesus. He's smiling at you. I'm so glad you're here, he says.
2 Thessalonians 1:6 through 8. It is a righteous thing that with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
As you look back at the earth, you realize that nothing has survived the brightness of God's presence.
2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will be burned up.
Soon the cloud pulls away from the earth. You and all those in it are bound for the promised land. You look around you and see a loved one in that vast company. Although you recognize them, their form and appearance is perfect. Gone are the physical attributes of sin. You look at your own hands and your arms, and you realize that you too have been changed in a moment.
1 Corinthians 15:51. Through 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on corruption. And this mortal must be put on immorality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immorality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
After 7 days, you arrive at heaven. Your mind struggles to comprehend the majesty of this place. The beauty and serenity of heaven defies description.
1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
As you take in the glorious mountains, the tame animals, the flowing pasture lands, the scenic nature trails, the peaceful gardens, the gently breaking surf, the sandy beaches, the lovely flowers, and above all, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, you realize that all of this was created for your joy by Jesus himself because he loves you.
John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
As you stand gazing, an angel approaches and introduces himself as your guardian angel. He offers to walk with you and show you around. I have some questions, you tell him. I thought you might, he replies. He leads you through the glorious city to a library where the books of remembrance are kept. You find others here too. They also have questions. Everyone can stay until their hearts are satisfied. Each one leaves with the realization that God's actions and judgments are righteous and true.
Malachi 3:16-18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him.
Your angel brings you to a small gathering of people. Their angels are also with them. One woman is telling the story about how Jesus rescued her from the clutches of Satan. Spontaneously, the group of men, women, and children and angels break into song. It's pure, sweet, and melodious, angel and human voices blending to praise Jesus for his love and goodness.
Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
As their music fills the air, one voice begins to stand out among the others. You open your eyes to realize that Jesus has joined your group. He is singing too about his great love for you, his song blending perfectly with yours. As his voice fills your ears, you realize that nothing in the universe can compare with this moment, this feeling of being in his presence.
Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
Sometime later, you find yourself at a friend's house for dinner. While the meal is being prepared, you visit with friends and loved ones. You take in the aroma of the food, the happy, cheerful talk. Your thoughts turn to loved ones who you hoped to see in heaven. Some are not here. Filled with grief, you leave the house and begin to weep. As you walk along the path, you hear a voice call your name. You look up to see that it's Jesus. Like a child, you reach out for him, and he grabs hold of you, and together you cry. I miss them too, Jesus says. After some time, his nail-pierced hands reach up to wipe away your tears. Comforted, you walk and talk with Jesus throughout the evening.
Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
You and the rest of the redeemed live in heaven with Jesus for 1,000 years. By the end of this time, you find that the emotional scars and wounds from your time here on earth have fully and completely healed.
Revelation 22:2. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations.
During this period of time, those who died without knowing God remain in the earth.
Revelation 25. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Satan has spent his time bound to the earth among the waste, death, and destruction with no one to tempt, forced to ponder his actions and choices.
Revelation 21:3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. He set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while.
As 1,000 years reaches its conclusion, the heavenly kingdom, the New Jerusalem, begins to descend towards the earth.
Revelation 21:2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. Heavens from God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. As you watch from the walls of the city, lands on the earth at the Mount of Olives. Revelation 27-9. Now when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in that beloved city. And the fire came down from God and out of heaven and devoured them.
The battle of Armageddon is a short one. As fire falls from heaven destroying the wicked, you see tears running down the face of Jesus.
Ezekiel 18:32. For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live.
At this time, Satan, the evil angels, and those who did not know God are completely and utterly destroyed.
Ezekiel 28:17-18. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, your corruption, your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, but the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you and turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who see you. Malachi 4:1-3. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that they leave neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts.
Soon the entire world is covered by a lake of fire, purifying the whole earth. As the fire subsides, Jesus leaves the city to begin his work of recreation.
Revelation 21:1-5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there is no more sea. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
You and the rest of the redeemed watch as Jesus participates in the second creation. As you look on, Jesus returns the earth to its original state before sin entered. This perfect place will be your new home. Best of all, Jesus will live here with you forever. Thank you. You know, the Bible talks about in Isaiah 66:22-23, and I'll actually read that to you. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come worship before me, says the Lord. We're going to spend Sabbath worshiping Jesus in heaven. You know, personally, I have this reoccurring daydream, I guess you'd call it, but sometimes it seems very real. A couple Sabbaths ago, I just happened to start talking about it during when I was elder, just on a whim, but it's the first Sabbath that we're spending with Jesus in heaven. And I leave the home that he prepared for me and put on the garments I will wear for the Sabbath service. and the crown that Jesus has made for me, and I start to walk down this perfectly manicured path towards the center of the New Jerusalem. And as I walk, these beautiful arches cross over top of the path with flowering vines and splay across to the other side. As I get closer to the city, I see that I'm joined on my left and my right by others of the redeemed who are headed to the same place I am. This magnificent cathedral-like stadium. As we enter, we're in absolute awe and wonder about the magnificence and the size of this place. Massive, ornate columns reach from ceiling to floor. Down the middle is a walkway with a crimson carpet. At the far end is this white throne covered in light. On either side are these seats and areas to stand that go up and up and up and up. Instinctively, I know right where to go. I find my place between two others, also of the redeemed, way up high. And as I look across the open area in the middle, I see row after row of angels. Next to the golden white throne hang these two banners. They say holiness to the Lord. Lining the pathway to the throne are people just like me, but they have crimson cloth around the bottom of their garments. And I know that that means that they lost their life for Jesus. And then I hear somebody saying, Jesus is coming. And then the music starts. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And the voice of the redeemed and the voice of the angels blend together, millions of voices in perfect harmony. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And I know I shouldn't, but I slip out of my place and I make my way down towards the center aisle. I stand just behind the men and women and children with the crimson cloth at the bottom of their robes. I see they're holding palm branches. And as Jesus enters the stadium, they throw the branches at his feet and they fall to their knees. And I stand looking mesmerized as he gets closer and closer. And just as he reaches to where I am, I become aware of this crown that's on my head. What's it doing there? I definitely didn't earn it. Jesus gave it to me as a gift. And it's the only thing I have that I can give to him. And I, with all the others, pull it from my head and toss it at Jesus' feet and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What is there on earth that's worth missing out on this? I want to be there. How about you, friends? As we pray, if you'd like to signify to the Lord that you wish to spend forever and eternity with him to the point where you're willing to give everything to him, do so by standing with me as we pray. Father in heaven, you promised to come get us. And how this world is wearing old, and how bad we want to go home. We grow so weary and so tired of the death, the pain, the suffering that mars this planet and has scarred and injured our hearts. Lord, save us from this world. Save us from the evil one. Save us from our defects of character and from our own human nature. Give us the strength through your power to fully and completely surrender our everything in our lives to you so that we can spend forever and eternity with you. Is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.